I am delighted now to welcome Ron Strauss. He is a composer, and his new disc is titled Tangos de Santa Fe Matapolvos, and he has a new septet titled Five Pieces of the Puzzle, which Serenata of Santa Fe will premiere on their first concert of the fall season on Sunday, September 13th at 3 at the Santuario de Guadalupe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
Let's talk about the disc for a few minutes. The name of the disc is the two pieces on the disc, Tangos de Santa Fe and Matapolvos. The tangos is something that comes from quite a while back in your own musical history.
Very much so. I've actually always been interested in the different Hispanic rhythms and harmonies. And somewhere in the 70s, I got very interested in tangos and started listening to them.
And really the classics, I mean the Argentine classic tangos, Carlos Gardel and whatnot.
Absolutely, and even I started researching when it began, you know, in the way before World War I. And the style of the music has evolved a lot since then, from 1910 through the what we're familiar with from the movies, Carlos Gardel, and of course Hollywood's steamy versions, and contemporary versions of the tango, Astor Piazzolla's tangos, and many others. But I've always had just an affinity for them, and my own version of them is a little slow and probably more comparable to the early tangos than the contemporary modern tangos of today.
So when you, I mean, I was, how do I say this? When I put the disc in to listen to it, I thought, okay, contemporary 20th, 21st century composer, it's going to be hard to listen to. It's completely beautiful and really classic in its harmonies and just the beauty of the way the instruments go together.
Oh, thanks. I kind of challenged myself to stay within very, very old-fashioned, simple harmonic structures. I take a little liberties with the 32-bar form, you know, stretch that here and there. But I did want to evoke that period of time, and it's kind of nostalgic, dreamy, lyrical, reminiscent of another time rather than contemporary cutting-edge tango.
We'll hear a clip in a little while, but it's a very beautiful use of flute, English horn, and guitar. And maybe this is, I mean, I'm not a musician or a professor of music by any means, but that I'd never really heard or been conscious of hearing that combination of flute and English horn. They go so beautifully together.
The English horn is, I tend to favor the lower instruments the lower sound. I played the cello when I was younger rather than the violin. And the English horn is, of course, a lower version of the oboe. And it's rarely featured as a solo instrument or as part of a group. It's always tucked away for a little vignette in the orchestra, you know, somewhere, you know, Wagner uses it, an English horn solo in one of his operas. It's very famous, but it's not usually taken as a solo instrument, and I tended to use it here because of its range and its low register, almost like a clarinet, but it has a dreamier quality than the bright soprano sound of an oboe.
And also the guitar, so you have these three instruments, and I was struck by there's a real balance of the instruments so that nobody is always foregrounded.
Right. Yeah, I like to have a dialogue or a trialogue going between all the instruments. And in almost all the music I write, since I've been writing a lot of chamber music rather than orchestral, I really like to get the quality of each individual instrument across and how it relates to the other instruments. So there are lots of sounds of duets, even in this trio. You know, sometimes it's the two winds, sometimes it's the guitar and the flute, other times, you know, the others, and
right,
then you bring them all together.
And so the second piece, Matapolvos, first of all, let's talk about what that word means.
Matapolvos is, it's a Spanish term for, I don't know what the English, it literally means a dust killer. It's a type of rain that's not enough to, barely enough to settle the dust, but it's not a real downpour.
We know those.
We certainly do here in Santa Fe. And the term came to me because I was setting poems, actually they're not poems, they're texts of Eduardo Galeano, Uruguayan writer, from his books on the history of Latin America, Memory of Fire. It's a trilogy. And this book moved me immensely, and I wasn't able to, you know, make a dent in some nearly 1,000 pages. So so I just picked a few things, and for me it was just like I was able to sprinkle a little water on this real fire cloud of history.
Oh, how interesting.
So there's a whole lot more that, you know, if I had a lifetime to set this piece to music, I would, you know, but you've got to move on with your life.
So when you take texts and you pick them out and you set them to music, how does the content of the text affect what you write musically?
In this case, it determined very much what I wrote. I took the text, and I first read it in English. I had friends who were in South America, and they brought back a Spanish copy of it. And so then I knew the meaning of it. My Spanish is not fluent. And I just had to work with the rhythm of the words and the meaning, and from that just develop a musical style. Also trying to stay within Latino, Hispanic format, but the music of Matopoulos is not quite as simple harmonically and melodically as the tangos are.
And when you're working with voice, no matter how much balance you try to achieve among the instruments, the voice really is the front man, so to speak.
It's the focus, although I do try to weave it in one of the pieces, Alguien, someone. I just tried to make it seem like another instrument, and there's sort of an echoing thing going back and forth between the voice and the other instruments.
Now, these were recorded at the Santuario de Guadalupe?
Yes. And
nice acoustics.
Beautiful, warm, rich, moist acoustics. Yeah, a lovely place to perform in and to record in.
So when you do a recording like that, just out of curiosity, do you find yourself doing multiple takes, or do you play it as if it were a concert, just going straight through?
We did both with this for this recording. I think we did just play them through, and then everybody sort of say, what do you think of that? And, oh, well, I don't know. Wasn't so great around here. Let's do that again. But the Matopoulos we really did in a few takes. And the tangos, because the acoustics in there are so different from a rehearsal room and a guitar has a lighter sound in the balance, we had to do quite a few several takes and do a lot of sort of splicing in, which was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be.
The acoustics of that space lend themselves to recording, but then in editing, do you have to in any way enhance or change the sound, or do you just really leave it?
We just took it straight as it was. David Dunn, who did the recording, had made his own microphones. He was very familiar with the space, and he also did the editing. And the editing, we pretty much left it as it was. There are no effects. No pushing up and down. So we did just try to capture the sound as it was there.
Let's talk about the septet, five pieces of the puzzle. Okay. What are the instruments that you have?
The instruments for that are, I have two winds, clarinet and oboe, four strings, which are a violin, viola, cello and bass.
Nice.
And a piano.
Interesting. Now, I guess as a contemporary composer, you can do anything you want. Is that a typical septet, or is
not, it? Not at all. No, I always, as with the two pieces on the disc, I try to take instruments that you aren't used to hearing together, and then it's my challenge to try to work with them and get a satisfying sound out of them. So I don't know of a septet with this combination. There may be, some. But I was just interested in how to balance not even a regular string quartet, which is usually two violins, viola and cello, and I just had one violin and added the bass. And how does that balance with the piano and winds and still get a very full sound, and again keeping it more like a dialogue between the instruments rather than a massive orchestral sound.
Now, what's the five pieces? Is it in five movements?
It's five movements and five pieces, basically. And as I was writing it, the title only came to me after I was writing it. I kind of had an idea what I wanted to write, but I didn't know how to describe it. And in each piece, there'll be sort of an echo or a reflection of another piece. And so it's a little bit like jigsaw puzzles where there's a little bit of red on this corner and it matches with a little piece of red on that corner of the next piece. So there's some elements that are shared between these pieces, but then they're still individual enough, like pieces in the puzzle that don't. They fit together in one way, but they, I hope, suggest more than what they individually contain.
Ron Strauss is a composer. His new disc is titled Tangos de Santa Fe Matapolvos, and the septet is called Five Pieces of the Puzzle. It's the premiere at the first concert of the fall season of Serenata de Santa Fe, September 13th at 3 in the afternoon. That's a Sunday at the wonderful Santuario de Guadalupe. How can people get hold of your disc?
The disc is available here in Santa Fe at Collected Works Bookstore on Galisteo. It's also at Fourth World Imports on West San Francisco Street. And
which is that nice upstairs location with all the Latin American folk art and crafts.
A wonderful shop. Wonderful people. And if you don't get downtown there, it's also available online at cdbaby.com.
cdbaby.com. Yeah. Ron Strauss, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And we're going to go out with some music from Tangos de Santa Fe. Listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz continues its series of featuring different interpretations of famous songs. Today, it's One for My Baby.